Do you worry about what other people say about you? Well, when you think about it, that's a real waste of time. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
Talk about me all you want. Throw rocks at me. Do whatever you want to do. God has prepared a table for me to feast. And while you're running your mouth, I'm eating. Oh, really? Oh, I'm a jerk. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. And I'm just feasting because God has set a table for me in the very presence of my enemies. In the very presence of Peter's enemies, God delivered him. In the very presence of whatever you're going through, God still has a plan for you. And God is going to work a miracle on your behalf.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Welcome to The Dwelling Place, the radio ministry of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs with Pastor Al Pittman. Prayer is the way that God has established for us to communicate with Him. Yes, we have a God who enjoys communicating with His children, just as you enjoy talking with your children. Today, Pastor Al is in the book of Acts, chapter 12. Peter was in jail at this particular time, and the disciples were praying for his deliverance. Let's join Pastor Al with a message pointing out the power of prayer.
God didn't deliver you to sit around and just go to church and be a nice person. He delivered you so He might use you for His glory and for His purpose. God is getting ready to do something. Some of you need to gird yourself up, put your shoes on, because God's getting ready to move. He's getting ready to move in your life. Gird yourself, amen, so you can run, amen. I thank God that, you know, we don't wear platform shoes anymore. Back in the 70s. Hey, you know, that's why crime was down in the 70s, because you couldn't run that fast, amen? You ever try to run in platform shoes? No, you can't do it. Thank God the 70s are over. Hallelujah. And you couldn't run, and you couldn't follow God. You couldn't, you know, follow the Lord. You couldn't run unless you gird yourself up. You had to grab that extra loose material, that which is loose and hanging down, and pull it up. And some of us need to let grab those things in our life that have been loose, and we need to come to God and bring them to God and say, Lord, help me to run with you. I don't want that hanging down there inhibiting me, Lord, from following you and running and tripping over stuff. I'm going to grab that so I can run after your heart, dear God. Gird yourself. Because God didn't deliver you to just stand around. He has a purpose for His church, especially today. God is about to do something in your life. Here's the third thing. That is that faith is required beyond the gate. God opened the gate for Peter. The Bible says the gate opened on its own accord. That was God opening the gate. And then immediately, the angel disappeared. God will lead you many times. He'll open the gate for you. But then the rest of the way, you've got to go by faith. Are you with me? You know, there's times in your life where you feel God so close, you got Holy Ghost goosebumps. You got your praise on. And then there are times where God, where are you? I don't feel nothing. I was talking to a brother the other day. He said, I don't feel anything. You know, I said, well, but you don't walk by your feelings. You walk by His word. We walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. Faith in what? In your feelings? No, faith in God's word. And so God, many times, you know, you feel God close. There's times I've got so much clarity from the Lord. I'm like, whoa, this is God. And there's other times I'm like, Lord, where are you? You know, I don't know what's going on. And those are the times I have to walk by faith. He opened the door for you. He opened the gate. But beyond the gate, sometimes it requires faith. Now, Peter, it's what we do sometimes. Peter could have said, well, I don't feel nothing. Angel left me, so let me go back in here, put the handcuffs on, you know, let me lay down here by the, you know, he could have gone back to where he was. This is what a lot of believers do, because they're walking by their feelings, not by faith. But faith will take you through the gate into God's purpose. And the reason God does that, the reason He takes us so far, and then sometimes He has a walk away by faith, don't feel anything. And then He shows, you know, you sense God's presence again. You go, whoa, man, that was awesome. And then it's gone, and you kind of feel like you're by yourself. He's teaching us to walk by faith. Why? Because He doesn't want you to just read about His power. He wants you to know His power. He wants you to know His power through His word. And so that's what we find Peter saying here in verse 11. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain. I know. It's a personal experience. Nobody can know for you. Pastor knows for me, so we're going down to hear what the pastor has to say. No, you got to know for yourself. Peter said, now I know for certain. Because he's now walking by faith. He's trusting in God. He knows that God has opened the door and made a way out of no way. Verse 12 to 17, the Bible says here in Acts chapter 12, so when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. This is John Mark, the nephew of Barnabas. And the Bible says here, and it gets a little comical here, and came to John Mark's house, his mother's house, where many were gathered together praying. What were they praying about? Lord, deliver Peter from prison. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. Peter's knocking at the door. Who is it? Hey, it's me, Peter. Let me in. You know, she runs, and she's so happy she forgets to let him in. Amen. She doesn't let him in, and she runs back, you know. And here these folks are, and they're praying. And so they're praying, what? For what? Peter to be released. Constantly praying. And she goes back, and she tells them that Peter's at the gate. But they, verse 15, but they said to her, you are beside yourself. I mean, isn't that just like us sometimes? You're praying for the very thing. The answer's at the door. And somebody says, the answer's at the door. And it's like, you're out of your mind. You're crazy. We're praying for Peter, for his release in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow. You know, we're speaking in tongues, doing whatever. We're just praying up a storm for Peter to be released. And Peter's at the door. And when somebody says, Peter's at the door, instead of saying, oh, praise the Lord, he answered prayer, we go, are you out of your mind? You see, I'm glad somebody's laughing at that. That's funny to me. But then I think a lot of times we do that ourselves. And yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it is an angel. It's Peter's angel. Now Peter, still knocking at the door. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished, shocked that it was Peter. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go tell these things to James. This is James, the half-brother of Jesus, and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Again, it just is amazing here. And I think it's a great lesson here for us that when we pray, do we really pray with a heart of expectation? And there are cases in my life where I've been praying for something and then the answer would come and I was like, no, it can't be God, you know. And God said, here's the answer, you know. Or, Lord, should I do such and such? And the Lord clearly says no. And you go, Lord, you sure about that? You know. Yeah, we're strange creatures. But when we pray, we have to pray with an expectancy, with faith. The definition of faith, Hebrews 11:1, you know. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Truly believing God, praying by faith. But notice something here. Unexpected prayer has basically three characteristics, if you can call them characteristics. Unexpected prayer. That's somebody, sometimes we pray, but we're not really expecting anything from God, just like they were praying here. Constantly praying, still, you know, they weren't really expecting God to answer the prayer. And we know that because their first response to the girl coming and saying, hey, it's Peter, you know, should have been, oh, it's Peter. Praise the Lord, he answered prayer. It was unbelief. So they were praying in unbelief. And then they moved from unbelief to spiritism. In other words, you know, they said, oh, it's Peter's angel. So this must be, oh, I get it. This is his angel, see. It couldn't be Peter. But they thought it was his angel, just spiritualizing it. That's what we do many times when God doesn't answer prayer the way we want or we can't comprehend what God is able to do. We go, oh, I see God was doing this so that this would happen. Oh, I see. We're trying over-spiritualizing sometimes. That's not what God was doing at all. It wasn't Peter's angel. God was answering prayer. And so we move from unbelief to to spiritism to astonishment. Peter comes in and they go, everybody's shocked that God is really that good. Everybody's shocked that God actually answered the prayer. And that's usually in my life where I go, oh, I knew God was going to come through. Did you really? Thank God for his faithfulness. And when we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. In verses 18 and 19, the Bible says, then soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death, all 16 soldiers. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea on the coast of the Mediterranean and stayed there. Kind of a nice little resort for Herod. God performed a major miracle in that what God did in releasing Peter from jail, the world could not see. They were standing right there, and Peter, they couldn't see what God was doing. And I think of the words of King David in Psalm 23. Lord, you prepare a table for me before my enemies. Your enemies can't see what God's doing. Why? Because the carnal man, the carnal mind, cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit. And a lot of times, people, they're shouting at you, they're mad at you and all of this, and God has set before you, in the presence of your enemy, a spread. Talk about me all you want. Throw rocks at me, do whatever you want to do. God has prepared a table for me to feast. And while you're running your mouth, I'm eating. Oh, really? Oh, I'm a jerk. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. And I'm just feasting because God has set a table for me in the very presence of my enemies. In the very presence of Peter's enemies, God delivered him. In the very presence of whatever you're going through, God still has a plan for you. And God is going to work a miracle on your behalf. In the presence of your enemies. Well, when my enemies are gone, then God's going to do something. No. While they're standing there yelling at you, God has prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I love that.
Pastor Al has more to share with us from Acts 11, so stay tuned. On behalf of Pastor Al, I would like to ask you to consider becoming a financial partner with us. Your consistent financial support enables us to keep this radio ministry moving forward. To make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Now to wrap up our message in Acts chapter 12, titled Undeterred, here's Pastor Al.
I love what Isaiah said in regards to our Lord not being deterred. Even in the presence of our enemies, the Bible says, indeed, I have spoken, the Lord God says, I have spoken it, and I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will also do it. What God has done here at Calvary Worship Center, what God has done in your life, God has done it. It wasn't your ingenuity. It wasn't anything that you've done. God, by his grace, has done it. Amen. David said, who am I and my family that God should be so good to me? Nobody did this for me. God has done this. It is God and God alone. He said, I spoke it, and I will also do it. Oh, I got to say this and move on quickly. In 1974, in the fall of 74, I've said this many times, but I'm saying it again to the glory of God. God spoke to me in a Nazarene Bible College class, and all I heard him say, and I could taste the words in my mouth. He said, preach my word. Let me tell you, it's been a long journey since then, but God has done this. God has done this. He will keep you. All my stupidity, all the mistakes I made, the sins in my life, things that I've done, turned my back on God, all these things, he had determined that you will not be deterred because I have spoken it and I will also bring it to pass. Amen? So don't you give up on God. God's not going to give up on you. If he's spoken a blessing over you, Balaam said, I want to curse him so bad, but he is blessed and I cannot curse. You cannot deter what God has done. Oh, you rest in that. By way of application, I think because Peter was resting in Christ, that he was able to see what God was doing. Gehazi, you may not know about this guy, but Gehazi, he was a servant of Elisha and Elijah the prophet. And the king of Syria was angry with Elijah. And he wanted to go and apprehend Elijah, so he sent an army out. They circled the city where Elijah was. I mean, cities weren't that big in that day, but they circled the whole place where he was staying. Gehazi gets up the next day, Elijah's servant, he's a young man, he gets up and he sees this mighty Assyrian army surrounding, you know, the city. And he cries out, "Alas, O master, what are we going to do?" And I think sometimes even in today's society, we're seeing all these things going on around the country. Some people in the church are like, "What are we going to do? We're surrounded. There's nothing. You know, what can we do?" And I love it. The young man's crying out, "What are we going to do?" And the old man prays. The Bible says, and Elijah prayed. And he said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. May God open our eyes to see that those who are for us is more than those who are against us, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And because we know that, then we can move forward. We can gird ourselves and move forward as a church and be about our Father's business, be about his divine purpose and will for your life. We don't have to be governed by the spirit of fear that is in this world. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but that of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen? For his glory. May God open our eyes to see the multitude that is for us. To know that if God is for us, then no one can be against us. In fact, the Bible says that he's the God of breakthrough. No matter what is surrounding you today, he's the God of breakthrough. David said this in 2 Samuel chapter 5. The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, he called the place, David did, where he was at, he called the place Baal Perazim, or Bel Perazim. Baal Perazim literally means master of breakthrough. That's your God. You don't know how to get out of it, but he's the master of breakthrough. You cannot be deterred because he's able to deliver you no matter what you're going through, just as he delivered Peter. In conclusion, verses 20 to 25, we see a great example of God's undeterred purpose. Because in verse 20, the Bible says, "Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon," Tyre and Sidon located in modern-day Lebanon, "but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them." In Caesarea, those of you who've been to Israel with us, right there on by the Mediterranean Sea, remember we were there, we saw the ruins, and it was that huge velodrome or whatever they call it, the track, but he used to race chariots and horses on. And above that was a place where the kings and all used to sit. This is the place where Herod Agrippa I is speaking from right now. And he begins to give this oration. And the Bible says, "And the people kept shouting, 'The voice of God and not a man.'" Oh, his head began to swell. "The voice of God and not a man." And his head was just, you could just see him, his head swelling. They're basically calling him God. And the Bible says, "Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died." The end. A great warning to those who are in our government, who rule over the people. Don't rob God of his glory. There's worse things that have happened to America as government officials and people in power refuse to give God glory. God's not playing. He did this to Herod Agrippa I. You did not give me my glory. Didn't say they had to be Christian or anything else, but by instinct, we ought to know, hey, we need God. And we have people in power today who don't recognize God at all. And God took it personal. He did not give me glory. God sent an angel and touched him, and he became infected with worms, and he died. I was reading, there was an article from back in 2002, an ABC News article, regarding Herod's death. And doctors have come to a consensus, and they agreed that he died from this, the following, I quote, chronic kidney disease complicated by a very uncomfortable case of maggot-infested gangrene of the genitals. Yeah, you want to die. Herod died in 44 AD because he did not give God his glory. But look at verse 22, then on up note. But the word of God grew and multiplied. God will not be deterred. Man is with all his power and influence and might and people worshiping him and all of this will come to an end. But God's will not be deterred. And God declared and decreed that his word would go forth and no weapon formed against it would prosper. And the gospel is still going forth today, and Herod has been dead in his grave since 44 AD. God will not be deterred. And the gospel continued. The church grew and was multiplied. And so it is today. Romans 8, you know it very well, many of you. What then shall we say to these things? What things? The riots, the violence, the anger, all the stuff that's out there. What should we say to these things? Hey, we'll say this. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, not apart from him, with him, also freely give us all things?
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, Senior Pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages and our current series in the Book of Acts with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al with you wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. You can also share a prayer request with us. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Have you considered becoming a financial supporter of The Dwelling Place? We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. You'll find directions and service times for both locations at cwccs.org. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for another study in the Book of Acts. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.